grateful member of Al-Anon. And I'm going to talk about forgiveness tonight, mainly about forgiving somebody else, but I also know that anything I say can always be applied to ourselves, right? Because often we're the first person that we need to forgive. For some reason, I'm not sure why. Anyway, I'm going to go through 5 steps of forgiveness, the way that I've learned it, and I've interspersed with some readings from our Al-Anon literature. This is a quote, and there's a new Al-Anon book out, and I really like it. I haven't read it all yet, but it's Opening Our Hearts. It's a book on grieving. There, Kathy's got it. Really, what I've read of it is really, really good. And it says, ultimately, forgiveness is an action we take to free ourselves from the pain we've been carrying. Forgiveness creates space in our lives for our own healing. In fact, forgiveness can be an important step in taking care of ourselves. And that's the way I see forgiveness. So let's just maybe say the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So when I say the word forgiveness, what happens to you? What do you think of? What happens inside your body when you hear the word forgiveness?
Struggle.
Healing.
Letting go.
Moving forward.
Anybody got it? When I say the word forgiveness, anybody got a story that you would like to? Well, I'll tell you one of my stories. When I was about, I don't know, before we left Prince Albert and we moved away from there when I was 10, so I was pretty young. And those who go to my meetings know that we were extremely poor as children, like really, really poor. And Mom had given me a $20 bill to go to the store to buy something. I was about 8. See how things have changed with 11? Leave an 8-year-old go today. But anyway, I had gone, and on the way to the store, I lost this $20. Now, $20 then probably be worth, what, $100, $200 today? Like, it was a lot of money. And so I was just so scared, and not even scared that she would get mad at me, but I knew what I had done, and it was awful. It was an accident, but nevertheless, I had done that, and I knew how much hardship it was going to cause our family. And yet I came home, and it was okay. You know, she forgave me immediately, and that was wonderful. And at that point, I felt worth more than what I had done. And to me, that's what forgiveness is so much about. It makes the person feel that they are more important than the wrong deed that they have committed. Anybody got a story that they off the top of your head that you can think of?
Eventually did come back a few days later, and all I really wanted to hear from him was my feeling. But on my own, I said, "So I'm going to forgive you." And that's when he said it was probably the lowest of the lows. When I said, "Son, I forgive you," I didn't need to hear from him and Selena, because it just lifted. Physically, it lifted. shoulder, and I felt and it was just because I used the word and meant it.
Very powerful. And even more important. Thank you. Thanks, Bonnie. No, I forgot to tell you, I am going to be walking around with this, and it is being taped, so if anybody doesn't want to be taped, just let me know, or maybe just, you know, it's anonymity, you don't want to say your name, that's fine.
Anybody else?
So would you agree, if I say that through every relationship, every family, and any relationship we have, there is often a stream of unsettled accounts. You know, even though we grow up in a great home, you know, our parents are perfect, our families are perfect, everything's okay, there's still something always below the surface, always below the surface. You know, it might be our teacher didn't comment on our beautiful picture we had drawn, or you know, maybe we had acne and we felt bad, but you know, we all these angers and hurts pile up and it doesn't take much to erupt. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't take much, and most of us who grew up in alcoholic homes, there's lots. So today we're going to go through a few steps and see how we can release some of these angers. Now, while I'm going through these steps, if you can think of somebody that has hurt you, including self, but I just want you to think of somebody who has hurt you. Think of the person, think of the deed that was done, and just sit there with it and see how you're feeling. What happens to the gut? What happens to the heart when you think of it? First thing we have to do is to name the hurt. Become aware of it. Again, particularly in adult children home or adult children, a lot of us have just gone through, and I know myself, I was just in a turtle shell and I wouldn't feel anything, right? I shut everything off. That's what can happen to us this week, but we'll go through that a little bit later. But we can just shut everything off so that we just can't even feel anymore. So anyway, name the person who hurt you, name the hurt, name the person who hurt you. So try not to exaggerate the pain, but try not to minimize it either. Just get a realistic sense of whatever happened to you during this time. This person has taken something from you, and you know we can do that to ourselves too. We can definitely take something from ourselves. And often it's one of three things. A loss of love, and that can be loss of someone that we love. A loss of lovability, the feeling of being able to be loved, that anybody would ever love us. Or just the plain loss of love of self. Perhaps that hurt made you feel like you had lost one of these things. The other thing is that we can lose is our self-esteem. That's not hard to do. Someone insulted you, they said nasty things about you. Doesn't feel good. When you think of this, again, what happens inside? How do you feel? Does it make you feel that others are better than you? Does it make you feel like you are less than? The other thing that can happen is loss of power. loss of control, and I'm not talking about control of other people, loss of control of our own lives or loss of power. Now, loss of control and power, that can be not such a great one, because what it often can do is make us into victims. Victims are not pretty. Victims are destructive. When we feel we get the worst of everything, we lash out. The victim feeling can pay off, and I'll quote from Path to Recovery, page 68. Lately, I've been struggling with forgiveness. If I remain unforgiving, the payoff is that I can savor thoughts of revenge. I can feel sorry for myself, for the hurt that was inflicted on me. I can justify my actions and remain distant. I don't have to work toward a closer relationship with that person if I remain unforgiving. And doesn't that give us a lot of control over the other person if we remain unforgiving? What's one of the things? I know that I know one of the things that happens is when we're hurt and angry, I would go into that silent treatment. Just think of the control that we can have over somebody with the silent treatment. Because they're walking on eggshells. And we have the control. But that's sometimes what happens when we feel hurt and angry inside. So we've got awareness, identifying the hurt and awareness. Those that I believe that is the first step. So I just want to give you a reflection question on that first part. And this is, have I held on to my resentment so I can feel control and power over this person? I'm going to give out these reflection questions at the end. But that's just one that comes to my mind. If you want to think about this, and we'll have a little chat at the end if anybody wants to share. So number two is to express the hurt. And that's sometimes hard for us to do. Crying is great. I know of people who punch bags, you know, because often we have to get rid of our anger first. And I remember being told once, Sharon, you have to get angry. And you have to stay angry. That was very hard to do for me. So I didn't know how. But at least not outwardly. But it's important to express the hurt, because until we feel the feelings, we cannot let them go. It's impossible. And if we don't express the hurt, if we hold it in, it can make us sick. It literally can make us sick. You know, I don't want to name, you know, arthritis and everything, because all these things can happen, but I'm not saying everybody who has arthritis has got a lot of resentment. I'm not saying that. But this is something that can make us feel hurt. Stomach aches, headaches, the whole bit. Journaling. I'm a great, great supporter of journaling, because there's something that happens when I work something from my head through my arm onto the paper, it disappears. I don't know why, but it does. Writing letters is good. It's great. But to quote Bill W., the most heated bit of letter writing can be a wonderful safety valve, providing the wastebasket is close at hand. The important thing is, do not mail this letter. It's so tempting to mail it. And I remember one time I was seeing somebody, and I was a great letter writer, and that's probably why I love to journal. She said, yeah, write that letter, Sharon, but don't mail it for 2 weeks. You know, that seemed sort of silly. I mean, I really wanted this person to know. But she knew what she was talking about. Crying is my, personally, journaling and crying at the same time, and I don't have to do it anymore as much, but at one time, I know I found myself, you know, I would start journaling sometime in the evening, and it would last all night. I would be journaling still in the morning, but what I worked through that night, I've never had to deal with since. Never. It's gone. Because I got it all out. Very painful. Very painful going through it. But I got it out. And so that is important, to express the hurt. And until we feel it, it won't go anywhere. Any comments? Any comments so far on anything? Let me see. Do I see myself as a victim in this incident? What, if anything, am I gaining from this feeling? Have I allowed myself to feel all the feelings associated with what this person has said or done to me? So we have becoming aware of it, expressing our hurt, and then we have to understand the hurt. And with this, accept our own responsibility. This is where we come into it more than we ever have in the first two steps, because I don't know of anybody or anything that until we take responsibility for something, there is no recovery. We have to stand up to the plate. This is my part. Sometimes it's simply that we accepted unacceptable behavior, but that is still our responsibility. We have to take responsibility. So when we think of this, again, going back, you know, to thinking about this deed and this person, because I really want to keep this at the front while we're doing this exercise. Think about why do you think that this hurt affects me so much? What was going on in my life at the time? Let's put it all into perspective, and I want to quote again from Courage to Change. We all do good and noble things at times. On other occasions, we may offend. I have no right to judge, punish, or absolve anyone. When I behave self-righteously, I'm the one who suffers. I separate myself from my fellow human beings, focus on others, and keep busy with hateful and negative thoughts. But try not to think of it, why did this person do it to me? But try and get inside of this person. Like, what was going on in their lives at the time? I don't mean that in a codependent way. I don't mean that to sit there and, oh, you know, I can figure out this person, because we know we can't figure out. But just in a compassionate, understanding way, why, you know, try and get it in. Again, my mom had a saying, whenever anything would happen, and she'd say, Sharon, you have to consider the source. But if you consider the source, maybe this person was going through a really rough time. Maybe we were just in the way. Maybe it wasn't about us at all. Maybe it was just about what was going on in their lives. How do you think that person viewed the world at that time? All I'm suggesting in this is to keep an open mind. And I want to quote something, and then I've got a story of my own again, and hope for today. When I started in Al-Anon, page 291, long buried memories of my deceased alcoholic father's behavior surfaced, and I angrily thought of him as the drunk. I continued attending meetings, though, and started my step work, prayed, and talked with my sponsor. She listened gently and carefully, but she didn't say much. She gave me my time and space. A few months later, mother asked me to pick up a box of my belongings. I took the box home and opened it. Inside was my father's wallet. "Here's the drunk's wallet," I thought as I looked through it. Inside the wallet were a number of things, including old pictures. There were lots of them, snapshots, carefully trimmed. A picture of me and him on my prom night, and one with me and our dog. There were several of him drinking with his buddies. He loved them too. Suddenly I saw my father apart from his alcoholism. He was a normal, everyday guy who had people and things he loved. I cried long and hard, missing my father for the first time in years. He was no longer the drunk. He was just my dad. And I think it's important that we think of that. It's so easy to label people. It's so easy to just dismiss them as what they are, as who they are. But to keep that in mind, this is a person. And I had an experience once when my son was in elementary school, one of my sons, and he, I don't know why, but he wanted to do an interview of my dad. And he did an interview of him, and it was about the war. Dad had been in the war. And he talked to him, and Dad was telling him about the war and how awful it was he had been over there, and how he came back on the ship and he said, all I wanted to do was jump overboard. You know, like it was awful for him, right? And I wasn't sitting there listening to them, but I was working around the house, and I listened, and I thought, you know what? Just like this story, it came to me. This isn't a person who's out to get me, and it's not about me, and he's not out to get any of us. He is just a man with a lot of stuff going on, with all of the fears and with all of the insecurities that I had at the time. And he just, and it was like the scales came off my eyes, and I went, wow, you know, this, he was no longer who he was to me. He was just a person. And that was such a gift that day. And I don't know where it came from, but I am so grateful for that day. I am just so grateful because it gave me a whole new look. I'd never ever thought before to look at him as a person. He was just this figure, you know? So I'm very grateful for that. So when we think of our responsibility, again, I said this before, but just think of what was going on in our lives. What old memories, maybe? You know, sometimes when somebody does something to us, it's not about that time. It's about triggering an old memory of ours. You know, maybe some other time you're hurt or whatever, and this is bringing it up all over again. Another reason to express the hurt. Express the hurt, that won't happen. We have to look at motives. We have to look at our own motives. We have to look at the person. Again, not in a codependent way, but just try to understand what happens. Any comments or questions? Question number 4 about this is, have I made a searching and fearless moral or inventory? I'm so used to step 4. Have I made a searching and fearless inventory of my part in this incident? So we've got awareness, we've got expressing the hurt, we've got understanding the hurt, we have got understanding our own responsibility, and then at some point we just have to simply forgive the hurt. You have to do it. I don't know if you've ever heard this, but a lot of marriage prep classes, they say that love is a decision. It's not about all this stuff that's often in lust.
Love is a decision. We love through everything. Also with forgiveness, we have to make a decision to forgive that person. I don't know about you, but for me, forgiveness only usually comes with a lot of prayer, meditation, put my higher power in the forefront. That is when I can forgive. Without the prayer, I usually go nowhere. Without the relationship with my higher power. You know, there's some sayings, act as if, fake it till you make it, and if we do that, it'll come. All we have to do is I decide, and I know myself when I meet up with somebody who maybe has hurt me, and you know, in any way. As long as I stay cheerful, as long as I stay open, as long as I stay willing to have that relationship, I can much faster come to a forgiveness than if I close myself down. As soon as I close myself down, I'm done. It's as simple as that. You know how you wake up sometimes in the morning and you feel cranky? No, I bet nobody does that, right? And if I do, if I give in to my crankiness, I'll be cranky. If I fake it, I'm okay, everything's fine. You know, usually by noon everything is fine. So we can make a decision and bring ourselves along with it. I think I want to stress here too that forgiveness really has nothing to do. Our own inner forgiveness has nothing to do with the other person. We are not doing it for the other person. We are doing it for ourselves. Totally for ourselves. For our peace of mind, for our tranquility, our own serenity. That is how we gain from forgiveness. Sometimes we have to make a choice. What is more important? The person or the deed they've committed? What is more important to us? And I think we have to remember that no deed is unforgivable, and I have to clarify that. Maybe no deed is unforgivable, but when we look at child abuse, child sexual abuse, I think we're looking at a whole new ballgame here. I'm talking about us in our adulthood, okay? I'm not talking about if we were sexually abused. Yes, there's forgiveness, but that's a whole new ballgame, and I don't want anybody to think that they have to take responsibility. You got your hand up?
I do. I want to say something.
Yes.
I think there's a big difference between forgiving the act,
exactly,
and forgiving the person.
Exactly.
Sometimes you can't forgive the act.
Yes, that's right. Thank you. To separate the person from the act. Always. Yeah. So, again, I want to quote from Courage to Change. I don't know the motives or circumstances that cause another's behavior. I do know, though, that when I hold on to resentment and blame, I occupy my spirit with bitterness. Today, I will find a more nurturing way to fill myself up. Forgiveness is an inside job. Totally. The inner release that happens to us when we forgive is incredible. It really is incredible. Because we're not bound to that person anymore. When we are able to forgive in our own hearts, we are no longer bound to that person. We take the control away from them. Sometimes they don't even know that they have this much control. We give it to them, you know, by our unforgiveness. And I think there's one thing I want to state here is that forgiveness does not mean necessarily reconciliation. It can, but it doesn't have to. It's not about reconciliation. It's about forgiveness. As I said, it's an inside job. It's strictly about us. I heard it said one time that resentment or unforgiveness is about drinking some poison
and waiting for the other person to die. You know, that's what it does to us. I used to do that. Not anymore. So again, from Hope for Today, in the thought for the day on page 57, through working the Al-Anon program, I have learned that forgiveness does not call for going back to an abusive or destructive relationship and saying, oh well, I forgive you one more time. Doesn't mean that at all. It means we have decisions to make, but it does mean that we're taking the power away from the other person so that we can just live our lives in peace. So we have got awareness, expressing the hurt, accepting responsibility, and forgiving. And now the letting go of the hurt. The surrender and acceptance. I know, everybody who knows me will say, oh yeah, there she comes again with that word, acceptance. So where do you think our higher power is in all this? Where do you think? Our higher power has been through us with it all, right? Right through every step. Step two, how can my higher power restore me to sanity through this? This is about letting go and letting God, this step. How can I accept this, accept that it's happened, but let it go and move on with my life? Can't change the other person. We can only change our own attitudes. We can only change what's going on inside of our hearts and our guts. Can we let it go? I guess the one thing that I've learned over the years is that everything that happens to you is a lesson on how to love. Because love is what we learn to do in this program. Love and acceptance, to me, are exactly the same thing. And we learn to love. That surrender. I think it's important to remember compassion, gentleness. Those are very important. They will help us to forgive somebody. Not necessarily to be with them again, but just to forgive them. Courage to change, about letting go and letting God. The most loving form of detachment I have found has been forgiveness. Instead of thinking of it as an eraser to wipe another's slate clean, or a gavel that I pound to pronounce someone not guilty, I think of forgiveness as a scissors. I use it to cut the strings of resentment that bind me to the problem or the past hurt. By releasing resentment, I set myself free. Sometimes when we think we're over something, we are for a while. And again, that's probably some of the triggering of memories. It does come back. But, you know, our whole program is peaks and valleys, isn't it? Our whole program is ebbs and flows in and out. And as the same with forgiveness. I know that I have gone through my life thinking that I have totally forgiven somebody something. And then, right out of the blue, you know, I don't know why, but it'll come. There'll be a feeling come back. And never as much. But you know, again, to accept that feeling that it comes back occasionally, and it's okay just to flow through it, and it'll go again. To apply all the steps, it'll go again, and we will get back to that tranquility. Every time, this is again from Hope for Today, every time I try to tighten the noose of resentment around someone's neck, I am really only choking myself. Today I will practice forgiveness instead. That's a little bit about like that drinking that poison, isn't it? and waiting for somebody else to die. You know, the thing that I have found the most, that I'm most grateful for, is that without that hurt in my life, I would not have found the peace and serenity I have today. You know, I mean, often here in these rooms, I am so glad so-and-so was an, you know, father, mother, husband, whatever, was an alcoholic, because look what I've got from this, you know? And the same with resentment and forgiveness. It's not about what they've done. It's about, look what I've gained. Look at the spiritual growth that has happened in my life because of that incident. Never the act, again, what Maurice was saying. It's not about the act. We're never grateful for the act of violence or the act of anything that has hurt us. I'm not grateful for the act, but I am so grateful for the environment that allowed me to grow through these steps, and I've still got tons of growing to do. So it's so good to know that with each thing that happens, I don't have to be afraid of these things happening so much anymore. I was terrified at one time, but I don't have to be so afraid anymore, because I can grow, and it's my choice how I react to it. I can grow from it, or I can pull my turtle shell over my head and hide from it. But I won't grow spiritually that way. But I will if I keep myself open, keep myself willing to the steps, to the slogans, to everything. If I keep working the program through all of these things that happen in my life, I've got nowhere to go but up, as any of us do. It's hard to believe, isn't it, that we're grateful for really ugly stuff happening, but we are. The other thing I would like to, the other thing I want to stress is take time to forgive. And there's a quote from Opening Our Hearts, that new book, and it says, if we're finding it hard to forgive, we might still be in too much pain. If this is the case, we might benefit from allowing ourselves more time to heal before we can begin to think about forgiveness. And I think that's really important, to give ourselves time enough not to procrastinate. There's that fine line, and that's why we have sponsors, and that's why we have meetings, because there's that fine line where we can just say, well, I never have to do this, right? Isn't this good? I'm going to be given permission. But just taking enough time so some healing processes happen, that we can go into these steps and we can feel it and we can become aware of it and let it go and make that decision. So we have to remember to keep enough time. And I think I'm just about done. So I would like to close with this hope for today. For me, and it's the last sentence of thought for today. For me, forgiveness is the natural outcome of working the 12 steps and the program. And I say, well, let it begin with me. Now, any questions? Because we do have any comments, questions, there's lots of time.
As you mentioned at the end, if I'm grateful for this, before you mentioned that reconciliation, is it possible to be grateful and to be fulfilled completely without some type of reconciliation?
Yes, I believe it is. I mean, I'm not an expert.
Do you have an example of that?
Yeah. Very personal, but I will tell you.
Okay.
I've been separated for quite a few years, and this is strictly gift. It had nothing to do with me. I was sitting across from my husband a few months ago, and all of a sudden it was my higher power, I know it was, and we haven't reconciled, okay? But I looked at him and said in myself, you know what? You couldn't do anything but what you did to survive. And I forgive you. I felt total compassion for him at that time. That's the inside job. I had not, I didn't tell him any of it, but it just, it happened. But I've been working these steps pretty hard.
Did you talk to him?
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah.
Is that not a form of reconciliation? I mean,
I see what you mean, yeah.
The other person that, well, I understand, and, you know, it's okay, and regardless of it, that can be reconciliation, but reconciliation is also establishing a contact with the person that...
When I say that, I'm saying I didn't talk about what I felt. Okay, we talked about the weather.
Yeah, I
see what you mean, but it wasn't like, you know, a two-way relationship.
It wasn't but, a heart-to-heart relationship.
Oh, gosh, no. But it was inside. But it was really powerful that day, you know, just really, really powerful for me that day. And I thought, wow, is this ever good? You know?
Like what you're talking about, you're reconciling that instant, you know, like that moment in time where this painful thing occurred, and not a reconciliation to the relationship. Maybe you don't want to be in that relationship anymore. Maybe that person is toxic and very unhealthy for you. And should you be around them to maintain your recovery and your health? And I think that's so important, maybe.
Did this bring up anything for anybody? Did you got any different feelings?
Then he told me I was sick, I better go to the doctor. So it doesn't always work.
Did it work for you?
Yeah, it was just shocking.
Yeah.
Because I had been sick, and so it was like another barb, but
yeah.
It was like, yeah. But I had done it, so it was.
But was it a release to you?
I think it was.
Yeah.
You know, it sort of took me back for quite a while, but it's like, yeah, at least I've tried.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And you let it go.
Yeah.
And that's what it's about, the inner release.
And that was years ago, and finally I started praying.
Mm-hmm.
And that was such a relief.
Prayed for him, right? Yeah, that's,
you know,
true.
But it was true. I thought I'd forgive him, but it was quite the same when you start praying.
No. You can't forgive, you can't be resentful and pray for somebody at the same time.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
And it takes a while.
But yes, it does.
When I first did it, I was like, I don't believe this.
Why am I praying?
It works.
But it does work, yeah, for sure. It does. Yeah. Mary. Just a minute, Mary.
Say my spouse and I can talk to each other and be in the same room and all that, and I've apologized lots of times because I know it wasn't, he was having a hard time and I was too, but it takes two. With everything, it takes two. And I think for the sake of the kids, we have to talk to each other, because you know how kids are. They like to play father and mother against each other. My kids are, well, they're 40s now, so, but a lot of times they don't talk to one or the other of us, so we can talk to each other and find out what the kids are doing and all that, and it's good. And if he gets too smart or what, I can hang up the phone or whatever. So it's good. But he's done it to me too, and that hurts. But that's okay. That's all part of growth, I think. And the kids always say it's so wonderful that mother and father can still come to things when they have special holidays and stuff like that. It's just good for the family.
Wonderful. Thanks, Mary. Anybody else? What actions can I take today to take better care of myself by trying to forgive this person? What Al-Anon tools will help me to forgive this person? Can you think of those questions? Any comments? What tools can you think of Al-Anon that will help you to forgive? Yes, always. Or at least that's the way I feel. Yeah. Yes, for sure. Restoring to sanity and asking for. Yeah. Anybody else?
Let go and let God.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, because again, if once we let it go, it's gone. I saw somebody.
Let it begin with me.
Oh, for sure. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yes. It's about our own recovery. It's not about the other person's recovery or anything else about the other person. For sure. Yes, Lauren.
I did the best I could with what I knew and what I needed,
and I did different. I'm just repeating it for you. I did the best I could
with what I knew.
With what I knew.
And when I knew different, I did different.
And when I knew different, I did it different. Wow. That is so true. That's, I think, a lot very important when we think of ourselves for forgiving ourselves, especially for ourselves, you know. Because we have to remember we did the best we could with the tools we had at the time. Any other comments? Questions? Any other Al-Anon tools will help to forgive this person?
Easy to say I forgive, but when do I know if I've really forgiven? And the person basically responded saying that the day you can do a gesture that for the benefit of the other person in a loving way and ideally without even the person knowing it, then you have forgiven.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to say I forgive, but then don't ask me in it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because again, those two don't cohabitate. Resentment and being able to do something as Tripp was talking about praying for somebody, and there's so many Al-Anon tools we can use for forgiveness, isn't there? Like everything. Surrender in step 3 again. I mean, that was part of it, but just to totally surrender it. Yes, Ian. Do you think he's trying to tell us something?
Step 12.
Okay. And how would you work step 12, Warren? Okay. Yes. Oh, definitely. Yes, exactly.